Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark off-season edition. I don't have a banner for our show because I forgot to make the appropriate graphic. It's about 9:30 here on Tuesday, April 22nd. The Mavericks have been eliminated from the playoffs for a couple of days. And is this the first time we've talked since things have ended?
Yeah, this is the first time we've talked since the Memphis game.
Okay. My brain's mashed potatoes there's just always things. Currently, you know, we're coming to you. It's middle of the first quarter, game two of the Lakers game, and Luka Doncic has 14 points. It's just beating the shit out of the Wolves kind of single-handedly. We're here. We're coming to you on Tuesday. I had mentioned that Josh and I hope to record on Monday, but the cool thing about the offseason is that you can simply choose to not do a thing. And Josh and I kind of made the executive decision last night, just Monday. It was Easter Monday, a thing I don't remember being a thing when I was a child. My kid didn't have school. Josh was.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that.
No, wow. That's why I took the day off. Neither kid had school. So I was by like 3:30 in the afternoon, I was just toast. So when you were like, I don't know, like we might be able to record late. And I'm always the one who's like, yeah, sure. And I told Josh at like 9:15. I was like, you know what? This ain't going to happen tonight. Yeah. Which is a little bit disappointing, but I think sometimes when you and I have more time to reflect on the news of the day, that can actually make for a little bit better of a show than our immediate live show. So, like I said, we're coming to you. It's about 9:30. On Monday, Nico Harrison did his scheduled exit interview, which... just real weird.
Yeah,
kind of where I am.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from him ever again, and it is a waste of time at this point. I think we get it from the closed media session right before the Memphis game, and then this open media session. I mean, it's just, it wouldn't be even productive to continue talking to him because it's pretty clear he has a one-track mind in terms of what he's going to answer and how truthful he's going to be, or you know, what he thinks. I mean, he's literally repeating the same answers that he said in the closed media session. He's not answering questions so that he can repeat his talking points, which is not unique to him. You know, that's, you know, you pro sports leaderships don't ever really talk truthfully in public. I mean, that's not a new Nico Hirsa thing. I mean, Cuban never did it. Donnie Nelson never did it. And, you know, most teams never do it. So it's not unique to the Mavericks. But at this point now, I mean, everyone's asked him all the questions. He's not going to answer them to the degree that's going to make anyone happy. So I don't, you know, I'm just like, I don't want him to talk again, because that means we have to talk about it again. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's kind of my high level thoughts.
And we're here, and, you know, we're still kind of formulating our offseason plans. So one of the things I think is important before we kind of talk about the substance of that exit interview was that when Nico Harrison spoke to the media, whatever day it was, roughly 10 days ago, 7 days ago, whatever, I have it on pretty good authority that was supposed to happen April 2nd, April 3rd, which was before the Lakers game. Lakers game was Wednesday, April 9th. That should have happened a week or so before. And I think, and I, again, this is me speaking with limited knowledge, but I feel okay at least putting this out loud because I think the timeline is interesting. He was supposed to speak end of March, early April. And I think he kicked the can down the road in an attempt to run out the clock, because this has been reported. He was told by Patrick Dumont to do this. I bet what he thought he could do was run out the clock and have it happen in the form of the exit interview, because these two media sessions were way too close together.
Or did he think that he wanted to hold off till after the game? If there's a chance the Mavericks would have won, in his mind, does he think that would have made it better when he did talk to the media?
Interesting theory.
I don't know.
But the first one was very much supposed to be an off the record talk with no cameras, no recording. And in typical, I don't understand how the media works, dictatorial fashion from people who are first time power holders, he was not prepared for the amount of what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we chatted about this in the live show. Mark Stein, who is as calm of a reporter, even keeled, does not take sides, very old school, was angry about that first press conference, which is why he did not go, because he didn't like the rule. He's like, you're not going to tell me how to do this. And I listened to a really weird segment on the Dan Le Batard show today about how it's like, well, that happens. You know, these people, these powerful people will kind of get you in a room and tell you how to do things, yada, yada. But I think this was new, what they were trying to do. In that people, like, Nico doesn't have any friends now. So, like, the off-the-record bull session, which I'm sure is what he envisioned, quickly became a very uncomfortable situation, which is why they actually agreed to go ahead and let people record and transcribe before the Mavericks could put out a situation of their own. Now, again, this is the day of the first play-in game against the Kings. So there, you know, that was last, that was the 16th, roughly. Yeah.
Yep.
So that happens, and then he has this exit interview today, Monday, which was in front of God and everybody with cameras on, and that just clearly couldn't have been the thing, because, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the substance of the actual press conference, but everyone who is even remotely friendly to Nico Harrison on a national television sense was like, you have to stop talking. Charles Barkley, like, there, because the press conference on Monday was quietly a disaster, in the same way that the off the record, like, no video cameras press availability roundtable was very quickly a disaster. And that came, what was most interesting, we've not really talked about it enough, but what was most interesting was Tim McMahon had published a sort of, this is institution. The Dallas Mavericks are an institution in, like, they're just in chaos in terms of their, what do you want, their training staff, and it's just with Dirk, like it was just Monday was really messy. It was really messy. And you'd think Josh and I would kind of want to come in here guns a-blazing to talk all about it, but it's sort of like what Josh said a second ago. It's just like, again, like what are we, like, it's not funny. It's not even that rewarding. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone, we've been kicking the shit out of this guy for 3 months. Like, it's not even, and, like, I feel like that meme. Have you seen that meme with the bird where he's like doing stand up and they're like booing, say, get better material. And he's looking at his cards and they just say crow, crow, crow or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't even know if people want to list. Like, I guess maybe people do. I don't know. But like, and he didn't say, like, you know, I think the only, it'd be different if he said something that was like, okay, well, we can at least talk. But like, he keeps saying the same things. Like, people, the thing that came out of the closed media session that really frustrated me was, you know, he kept repeating defense wins championships. And I just desperately wanted someone to ask him, okay, defense wins championships, but last year you went to the finals with one of the best defenses in the NBA. You know, after you made the Gafford and PJ trades, you had one of the best defenses. You rode that best defense into the playoffs. You beat the 4-1 and 3 seeds of the Western Conference using that great defense. And then in the finals, you lost because your offense stunk, and you actually held one of the best teams in NBA history well below their offensive rating from the regular season. And in that number would have been below league average, I think, what the Celtics did in the finals. So, like, I just wanted someone, okay, knowing all that, why was that defense, which was clearly good enough, and the reason you lost in the finals was offense, why was that defense not good enough with Luka to fill your defense wins championships mantra? And finally, some people kind of got at that question at the open session, and he literally just was like, defense, you know, like, I believe in defense, and Anthony Davis is a two-way player, and we felt like we had the opportunity to go get him. And it's like, no, that's not, that doesn't really answer the question, which, you know, goes to show that I don't think he can say, I said this before, I think if he got hit with the truth serum, he would probably say, well, I think Luka is fat and he's going to Sean Kemp himself in 4 years. And it's like, he can't say that. So now he has to just repeat these loops so that he doesn't say the thing that he wants to say. And it makes him sound like a crazy person. Now, maybe I'm giving him more credit than that. You know, maybe his brain is that charred up from Mamba mentality and Nike corporate speak. That maybe everything he's saying is as 100% truthful as he can be. But just to me, it just feels like with the reporting we have and the reasons why he fell out of favor with Luka, I just feel like he if he could be more honest, because he would probably say some different things. But I think he's just trapped in a loop where he can't say the thing. But what else can he say? Because none of it else makes sense. Even if you disagree with him, which a lot of people would, if he was up there and he was like, hey, I get it. I didn't believe in Luka. I just didn't think his body would hold up. I didn't think he had the right mindset to be a star. People could still be like, you're wrong. But then it'd be like, okay, that's at least something. Like, that's a line of thought that you can follow from A to B to C. And you're like, okay, I might disagree with this, but it's a reason. And instead, he's not saying that. And he's saying defense wins championships. I wanted a two-way player. He fell into our lap. We had to take the opportunity. And it's like, dude, you made the final. Like, that doesn't make sense because you made the finals and your defense was awesome. So I don't know. I just, that's why I'm like tired of hearing from him, because I don't want to hear him say all this crap again.
Well, okay. We're going to take a break real quick here. Yeah. And I'm going to insert some ads, and then I want to circle back to what you said. And I need you to help me remember, because I'm an idiot. But guys, so we're going to insert some ads here as best as I can. I learned from our Odyssey, which is the company that now runs our podcast, that these mid-roll is what they're called, ads. When shows are first populating on feeds, sometimes they don't insert correctly, even though I'm doing my job correctly. I went through, you guys would have laughed at me, I did like a Google screen share with my boss and was like, here's what I'm doing. I promise I'm doing my thing. So if there are ads, do listen to them. Listen to the ads at the beginning, the end of the show. That's the main way you can help Josh and I. We will be right back after these ad insertions. We'll talk a little bit more about what is happening.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, guys, thank you so much for waiting. If you are with us now, that means you are a true diehard. We are entering kind of the summer of discontent where there's going to be a lot of weirdness. Who knows what's going to happen next? But if you are still listening to our show, that means you are a true Mavs fan. And it takes a lot to kind of hang through the rough time. We've been blessed as Mavs fans over the aggregate, particularly since Dirk was on board. Fans in the 90s would probably disagree with me just because the 90s were horrible. But we really appreciate you. Please subscribe to the show here on YouTube. I will probably this Friday, just because my job sort of sussing itself out, I think I'll be doing us group therapy. If you guys want to come talk, we had a great one the other night after the Memphis game. Really enjoyed talking with a lot of different fans. Would love to sort of look ahead, start talking about the draft lottery. The Mavs actually won a coin flip for the first time in the history of time and are picking 11th instead of 12th, even though I don't know what statistical difference that actually makes their lottery odds. So I wanted to circle back to something that you had talked about before the show. So I did really want to kick off with the press conference, but you triggered something in my brain. And Bomani Jones, isn't his show The Right Time?
Yep.
Okay. But Monty Jones, former ESPN guy, one of the really, like, he's just an impressive, impressive thinker in the sports world. He might not be your cup of tea, but I'll tell you, he was the first person to piece this together. And I'm kind of annoyed that, because he's a Houston guy, and he has actually told me that he thinks it's funny that we're suffering in one way, because he's a Houston guy. I appreciate that sort of regionality. And he was the one on his show yesterday pointed out that you moved a guy because you think he has Sean Kemp futures, which is a position you can take, right? Mm-hmm. Only then to walk into a field of rakes. And Tim McMahon, oh my goodness, Tim McMahon's article, if you've not read it on ESPN, this is why I defend him, because he knows how to do the work. He's not a public relations guy. He is a reporter. And before the Mavs roundtable, he had reporting that essentially boiled down to the training staff and the doctors that replaced Casey Smith were, and I'm paraphrasing, so nobody get me in too much trouble, but they didn't have the right certifications, and they didn't get along with one another. So you move Luka, who has a, because you're concerned about his injury history, bring in a guy with an injury history, and then also bring in a injury training staff that is not really up to par. Then you throw yourself on the injuries as a reason why you can't be judged for this season. What did you think of that, Josh?
No, I hate that. You can't use injuries as an excuse when you trade for 200 players at the trade deadline. Like, you made that bed. Like, it is unfortunate. But the minute the trade happened, I mean, both trades, both Martin and Davis were hurt when the trades happened. They didn't get hurt afterwards. They were already hurt. So you got that. And then you decided we are going to plant our flag into building this team around Anthony Davis, who's already hurt and has a long list litany of injury history, and Kyrie Irving, who's also over 30, also has a long history of injuries and lower body injuries. Has already had two knee surgeries before he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. So while the ACL injury might be unlucky and is not necessarily like you can point to what the causation is, but you absolutely can point to, hey, if you're going to ride or die with these two guys, you are risking a lot because there's a chance that they will get hurt. So when they do get hurt, you can't be just throw up your hands and be like, oh, wow. Who could have saw that coming? What a bad beat that was. Ah, we were just unlucky. Like, no, the history exists. Like, I remember when we were talking about Kyrie's availability and people used to get mad at us because they were like, oh, well, that was just, COVID and the pandemic. And it was like, guys, he's had two knee surgeries. He has missed a lot of games simply due to the fact that he wasn't healthy enough to get on the court.
Right.
Now he's, now he's going to be 30. He's going to be, he's 10, he's on the wrong side of 30. So is Anthony Davis. Like, it's not being pessimistic or negative to be like, hey, these guys might get hurt, because if you're following history, that's what's going to happen. That's their deal. I don't know how else to say it. Like, you can't trade for injured players and then be shocked that they got injured. Like, that's kind of gaslighty.
It is gaslighty, but then you also have kind of the details of McMahon's report indicated some honest to goodness troubling stuff, in the sense that the strength coach was quite literally not certified to be an NBA level strength coach. Like, right.
And only got approved because they basically told the
NBA, were like, oh, okay, you're going to do it later.
Yeah, he'll get it.
That's bad. And then they had a guy who had came from the Celtics, and he was apparently just him and the strength coach never saw eye to eye. So one of the things that look, guys, we're old. Josh and I are old. I wish I would have known some of the stuff I knew about biomechanics when I was like 15 to 18. My whole life might have been different in terms of how I feel. These guys' bodies are their money-making mechanism. You fuck with that, that's bad. And in all honesty, like, we have some like 5-alarm fires that I was really disappointed didn't come up in the press conference, because it can be safely assumed, like, without, they fucked, like, the strength coach plus the the injury dot, like the actual training staff messed up Derek Lively's season. What was ridiculous was Nico Harrison in the round table tried to paint it as a good thing that they caught it, that his ankle was messed up, but it's like, you should have caught it the first time.
Right. You fucked up.
Right. So it's like, and Micah asks a really good question. I want to get, it's funny, Micah, I keep circling this because it was, I'm getting to your, about Isaac Harris's question. This has just been an aside that I'm really kind of just fascinated by because McMahon's article was just so, like, nobody talked about it in the press conference because it was just so Nico focused. Yeah. And I'm really fascinated by it. But the bottom line is like before the press conference on Monday, Nico Harrison had a bad week in media, is what we'll say. Okay. Right. Then we go into Monday. There's this McMahon article, which paints the office in disarray. Then there's the exit interview. Now, my favorite part about the exit interview, and you know what? If you say I'm reading too much into this, fine. Nico Harrison wearing all white at the press conference, that's a choice.
The day after Easter?
The day after Easter is a choice.
I've also never, like, he's been in public enough on camera. I've never seen him wear an outfit like that before.
Ever. And guys, you're going to think I'm ridiculous, but look, I was a gifted and talented English language arts student. I remember my archetypal hero stuff, okay? White, heroic color, okay?
Resurrection.
Resurrection-based color. Nico Harrison is a smart man. We might think he has made a series of stupid choices because he has, but he's not stupid. So like there was a choice, and secondarily, the pullover that he wore, really cool. I would wear that pullover. Like, it was a really cool pullover.
Yeah, is that in the team shop? I haven't known if
it was because it was white. It was last year's team alt.
Oh, okay.
It was the, you know what I mean, the Mavs, yeah. One. Anyway, whatever. Isaac Harris, friend of the show. Matt, Locked On Mavs, longtime contributor. Like, let's just be clear here. Isaac's my friend. I have roasted Isaac continuously because he has had some outlandish Mavericks takes. The cojones it takes to get in the first question he asked essentially boiled down. And he was the first person to ask a question, which I like, why he, like, Nico clearly called on him because he thought he was getting a friendly guy. And Isaac asked him, why shouldn't you be fired? I guffawed when I heard the question. What did you think?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was a fair question. He didn't phrase it like an asshole. He was like, explain to me why you should still have your job after the season.
Right, yeah, because they failed. So if, like, say as many excuses as you want, they failed. So it's a totally reasonable question to ask. And Nico, you know, it was also smart of Isaac to ask that question because you know that whatever he's going to say is going to just rile people up because you know Nico's not going to be like, you're right, I should be fired. See you later. And then, like, you know, walk off the stage and we never see him again. So it's kind of funny. Like, that's a question, like, Isaac gave Nico the rope to hang himself with. Like, that's kind of how I interpreted that a little bit. Now that, you know, he gets this, then now we've got the soundbite of him being like, I think I've done a really great job amidst, you know, everything falling apart. Right.
I think I did a really great job seems to be what has most rankled the various Nico defenders in the media sphere, like Charles Barkley kind of going off. Because it's just like, buddy, you can say, I believe in the long-term value of the process, which I have, or in the path that I have put us down. I have done a pretty good job when we know for a fact that he tried to trade for Kyle Kuzma with two firsts that all, like, essentially, and let's just be fair here. He had done a pretty good job, but if you actually look at his moves in the big picture, Nico's strategy is go all in every time. Every time. Extend as many resources as you can to build up the team, and we'll take the next step. Kyrie, He went all in for Kyrie. Like, Kyrie, do you remember how pissed we were at the resources they expended for a guy no one wanted?
I mean, yeah, at the time, that was, if this works, what happens going to happen? They went to the finals. Or if it doesn't work, like, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. this is the path of Luka leaving, funny enough. That's kind of what
it worked.
Yeah.
And then it worked. And so it's like, and that's, again, guys, like Bill Alien says in the chat, great point, Kirk. This is not a criticism of the strategy. It's simply, if you look at the strategy, it worked out. Like earlier, you know, you send Kristaps Porzingis away and you essentially take a loss. Then you trade for Kyrie Irving, you know, in the next year. And then I think that was next year.
Well, you let Brunson go. You signed JaVale McGee.
You let Brunson go. I mean, the Brunson thing, I don't really want to hang Nico on his own petard with that one because I think that was almost Cuban.
Yeah.
Or anything. But just really something. And so I've been thinking about that for a while, and it's one of those situations where he's so results oriented, meaning Nico Harrison, that he essentially doesn't like it when people question the process. Like there was a Dallas Basketball, whatever the SI blog is now, Dalton doesn't work it anymore, but there was an article that I didn't really love that tried to connect Casey Smith getting fired for pushing back against Christian Wood's trade, saying that Casey Smith thought he was an injured player, we shouldn't do it, which is one of the reasons that led to Casey Smith being fired.
Well, that was in the McMahon article, I think.
Oh, right? Was that?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, then I'm a moron.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think that was a tidbit. I read that while parenting from the Dallas Aquarium, so okay. I could be just getting all some of the facts wrong, which kudos to me. Anyway, it was just such a, like, that first question was just sort of very loaded, and then it went downhill from there. I don't know who asked the question that resulted in Nico saying, I didn't understand how important the relationship was between Dallas and
Cato, I think.
And like that answer right there, like let's just be it.
Don't say that, by the way.
Don't say that.
Just don't say it. You can think that, don't say it.
Yeah.
Like,
cause it, you're really saying I should be fired right now.
Yeah.
I have one really good friend. He's a Bucks fan who is like, it is the owner's responsibility to protect the relationship between the fans and the organization. It is the GM's responsibility to build the team up as best as possible. I think that's an interesting position, but for you to either say you don't know or lie about not knowing, you're telling on yourself to the point to where I can't trust your judgment as an executive.
Right. No. And can I give you the quote that stuck out to me?
Yeah. A lot?
So he says, a lot of questions were asked about his relationship with Patrick Dumont. So he said it actually strengthened the relationship because we talk a lot more and we're kind of linked together to this. That's the part. We're kind of linked together to this. It made us have a lot more conversations. I believe we have a really good working relationship. He came out publicly and supported me, and I'll take that lightly, blah, blah, blah. But like, I did not know who Patrick Dumont was until he bought the Mavericks. I knew who his family was. I didn't know who he was specifically. Right. I have to imagine that's similar for a lot of people. People will now know him as the guy that traded Luka Doncic. And Nico is right. They are linked together. Now, what I'm curious is Nico seems to think that's a positive. Like, we're in this together, man. Does Patrick Dumont think that it is cool that he is linked forever to this trade? And that is the thing that's going to be rattling around in my brain as I wonder how much longer Nico is employed by the Mavericks, because that felt like, to me, I don't know if Patrick saw that and he's on board, whatever, but like, there's a part of me that heard that and was like, does he think that way? Like, is he glad that y'all are linked together forever to the worst trade in the history of professional sports? Like, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll find out. Like, I still don't think he's getting fired anytime soon, but the cracks are at least beginning to show.
Let me be sarcastic and an asshole for a moment. You're not on social media near as much as I am, but when I read that line, I quote tweeted Mark Stein and said, "We choose each other every day. Caption on the photo shoot from the joint Nico Harrison Patrick Dumont Facebook account.
That's pretty good.
Because look, Josh and I, Josh is in his 30s, I'm in his 40s. Let's tell you youths who don't know anything about this. There's a lot of people out there whenever they you just see stuff on social media where when like family, like when couples are having trouble, they'll occasionally put something public out there, which is really highly embarrassing. Facebook photo shoot, joint Facebook account, something to that. And that is what that reminded me of, because you shouldn't say out loud, our relationship is stronger than ever after you've nuked the franchise.
Right.
Like it's just, we're all going to go, And you know, there's all this like interesting reporting, like Tim Cato of DLS inched around it in an article Monday as well, that seemed to say that like he's no longer bulletproof. Mark Stein, then, who is also of DLS, but Mark Stein is a independent, like he's an older independent journalist who has his own deal. Tim and Mark are both great at this. Mark seemed to imply on today's DLS show that There's cracks in the armor, and the bad press. One of the things that I just am so amazed at is Nico Harrison's ability to just walk into a field of rakes. You're actually quite good at this. I am really good at saying dumb shit, and I am impressed at Nico Harrison's ability to say dumb shit.
It's taking the torch from you.
Just really, it's like what's happening, and it's something.
I don't know. I mean, the thing I'm thinking about is the owners that own the Mavs are so rich, because I was like, you know, billionaires don't like losing money, so I wonder if part of the cracks are they are starting to get the returns from their business side of like, here's where the ticket sales are leaning, here's where merch sale, like, because that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been what, two months almost, what, February, March, April. So it's been 2 months. We're about to get on to the third month. I don't know how the Mavericks report stuff, but you know, once you get a couple months under your belt, just from my own professional experience, you can get more concrete reporting and you can start to see trends. And I wonder if there's some money numbers coming into him over the last few weeks since the Luka trade now that are starting to kind of solidify. That I was like, oh, okay, well, this is bad, and billionaires don't like losing money. And another thing is these guys are some of the most powerful people in the world. They're not used to getting told no. They're not used to looking like the butt of a joke. That's another thing that billionaires don't. They don't like being ridiculed in public because they are.
Unless you're Mark Cuban and you have a fucking pain fetish.
Yeah, that's true. But for the most part, rich guys that have pretty much gotten their way their whole life do not like being the joke, butt end of a joke in public. So I think that combination of, I wonder if the money is coming in, the financial reporting is coming into him, and then this PR disaster is just like, because this is Patrick Dumont's legacy now. Until he comes out and says, hey, I'm sorry, I trusted a guy I shouldn't have trusted. We'll move on. I'll do better.
It's the easiest thing for him. Because most fans want him gone, but it's like, you're not firing the owner. Like, right. I used to bitch about Cuban all the time. I wrote a 2,000-word article that I'm pretty sure he read about the need to take a step back. But I never was like, he needs to sell the team. Because it's just like, you can't, like, people don't do that. Just
be a normal owner.
Just be a normal owner. And so it's like, as we're sitting here on a Tuesday night, game two against the Wolves, it is not even halftime, and Luka has 22, 5, and 5. And I'm sorry, like, the louder, the more Luka does, and Anthony Davis, like we didn't even talk about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis's exit interview quotes were ass. That man is like, I'm playing Mr. Leader, look at me, tough guy. And it's like, just go get rehab. Go stop it. Anyway, the owner of this thing, it's not all. We never want to hear from him ever again. We want him to fire Nico Harrison. We want him to actually form or seek out that search committee that Mark Cuban lied to us about back in 2021. Hire someone, including Jason Kidd. We haven't even talked about Jason Kidd. Maybe we'll circle back to him. Hire other people and just start over And I think, you know, you're not going to get enthusiasm, but I'll tell you what will stop is the bad press.
Yeah, for sure. You have the ability to win back some trust and get some people back into the building that you might not have been able to. Sell some TV subscriptions, sell some jerseys. Well, maybe not jerseys, but just, you know, you might be able to start selling some merch. Release some classic 80s Mavs merchandise the same week you do it. You know, get people back in the stores and buy stuff. I don't know. But yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I just don't know because we don't hear from Dumont either. You know, he's done... He hasn't done
his one round of press was so clearly coached,
but also Harrison. It wasn't really around. He did an interview with Brad Townsend. Like that was it. Right. He hasn't also been in a room with people.
And Brad is, yeah, you get put with ownership for the first time. And you know, like people were so critical of your and mine, Mark Cuban podcast. The first time you're doing a sit down interview with somebody, you're not going to be an asshole. You're just not. And so, like, Brad Townsend, people were, like, very unhappy with that interview. And it's like, why didn't you press him harder on this? And it's like you're just happy to get the damn availability because these guys don't talk.
Mm-hmm. No, anyway. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
You want to comment on Nico saying Anthony Davis doesn't need surgery this summer?
Well, I mean, maybe not.
It? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a long time. I mean... We're not going to play basketball again until, like, there's no international basketball for these guys. So maybe it'll be fine.
Okay.
I mean, Anthony Davis is going to get hurt again. It might not be the abs, but it'll be something. He plays, like, my friend Dumman pointed this out to me, that, like, he wants to be seen as a tough guy, and his body just doesn't let him. And there was Jason Tempf, who's one of the big Lakers YouTube guys, was just like, when he's not right, he just doesn't look there. And it's like, that's part of being over 30. Like we watched Dirk Nowitzki deal with it for 10 years. Like you figure it out. And either Anthony Davis is going to figure it out or he's not. And we'll go from there. Yeah. I mean the exit interview stuff, I mean the Klay Thompson stuff was horrifying. I hope they do right by him. I don't know what that means, but I hope they do right by him because he didn't sign up for this.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we're a little morbid.
Yeah. Let's get ready for the draft with a draft pick that I'm convinced that will not be on the roster in 6 months.
There's some fun stuff here. There's some fun stuff. We're going to be able to be real mad, or we're going to be able to be like, J. Kyle Mann, who works for The Ringer, texted me the other day. He goes, what do you think Nico is going to do? And I said, I think he's going to trade the pick. And then he said, well, I have you guys slated to take Jeremiah Fears in my mock drafts. And I'm just like, that would be the perfect player for me to move on from Luka from.
You have to explain him to me because I know I don't even
He is the second youngest player in the draft. He's an OU point guard. He is very talented. He is also very young.
Okay.
And what comes with youth? Frustration. And it's just like the perfect guy for me who I would tune in every night and be like, this guy's fucking awesome on a Monday, and on a Wednesday be like, we need to trade him to Mars on a Wednesday. Like just, he's just magnificent in that way. He provokes takes and I would love it. But you know, Josh mentioned this. Bill said he turned 18 in the fall. He's basically like Cooper Flagg, where he should be a senior in high school right now. I don't know what we're going to do next. So we have, I mapped out the start of a off season schedule. We'll probably do some kind of player by player reviews like we've done in the past. Josh and I will meet and podcast with you guys at least once a week from, if not more, depending on what happens news wise. We'll be recording at least once a week. I'll be recording kind of a secondary show. I'll try to have that on Friday afternoons. I'm going to have this upcoming one on Friday afternoon. You know, kind of a Q&A like we used to do in years past. Last summer, I had a new boss, so it's a different deal. But I can disappear for an hour on Fridays in this summer. We can start, you know, and for those of you who have come on the show, prepare for that. I'll put it up on YouTube. We'll do the, you know, my man Cowboy always checks in. We have a lot of good people that have and ask good questions. We will attempt to bring on draft people It's a little hard for Josh and I, just because we each have day jobs and we're actually both looking forward to taking a little bit of time off. But we'll see where we go. We will keep putting out stuff for you guys. I mean, our draft guys are hilariously excited about this. We have a draft Slack channel. It's just like my our old man Brent popped into the Slack channel today, and he goes, "Would you guys want to do a mock draft of the league with us?" And it's like, well, yeah, that's a great idea. Like, just have fun. Like, the whole point of off-season content is to be able to argue.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's a great time. It's a great time. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday, April 22nd. I'm going to go try to watch some more Andor because I didn't finish my rewatch. And then you guys should have seen the nonsense with me today. I was like a child with the Oblivion Elder Scrolls 4 remake news, which I've known about for months because it's on the internet. But I was just like, so it's just like, I'm looking forward. I'm just,
yeah,
looking
you got
forward
stuff
to
do. Yeah. You can, you've got plenty of stuff to make you not think about Nico Harrison anymore.
That's right. That's right, brother. That's right. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm tired, but we're all tired.
Texas spring has whipped
it's so
my
bad, isn't it?
Ass.
Are you staying on top? You're out. Like, I take a Zyrtec every night before I go to bed. That's helped, but you know.
So I have this bright. You'll laugh at this. I have this bright purple towel, and you've been in my backyard. We have this big table that we kind of entertain at. I go out there every couple of days. And I get it soaking wet and wipe it off. And it is, you can just see
it's
the
disgusting pollen.
Yes. It's so gross.
Yes.
Cowboy asks if Josh and I will see Sinners. Josh is seeing it soon on like 70 millimeter.
I am seeing it. Yeah. 70 millimeter IMAX on Friday at the old Cinemark off Webb Chapel in 635. Going
so
with Megan and a couple of friends. Yeah.
That's gonna we have to talk about that then. Just I'm sorry.
Sometimes I don't want to talk about it because I feel like the last time I talked about it, I know it wasn't because of me, but shit, man, the Oppenheimer tickets were sold out forever. And
that's
like
right.
This used to be like my little indie secret. Like no one knew. Like I used to be able to, like I told someone, like I bought tickets to 70 mm IMAX Interstellar like a day before, like the opening weekend. I bought tickets on a Friday to go Saturday, like, and it wasn't an issue. And people were like, huh? And like Oppenheimer, I had to wait 2 weeks before I could see it because tickets were sold out. Like people did not know about this theater that much back in the day, but now it has exploded because there's more social media. There's more, you know, people kind of know about it. And I think, you know, not to get wildly off topic.
People appreciate the craft.
Yeah, I think people want that experience. Like when they go to the theaters, like this is what they want. They want something they can't get at home, and you cannot get this at home.
Now it's you know, movies. One of the things I tell, it's like movies are like a community experience, and a movie that has energy where you, you know, and you and I are big people, so we don't exactly love being crammed into a small seat, but the energy in a movie theater is just like a sporting event where you're like, this fucking rules.
Yeah, that's why, like, when people are getting pissed off at the Zoomers for wilding out during the Minecraft showings, I'm like, guys, like, this is what it's all about. It's fun to get excited in a community setting. Like,
shit, people have done that for years.
Yes.
Like, who hasn't seen like a Clue or what's the other?
Gosh. Independence Day.
God, there's like so many good ones. It's
shit. My daughter is watching the first Shrek now. I don't know how she discovered it, but she's watching it like every day. And I remember it was like the Ratatouille scene where the critic like teleports back to being a kid when he eats the food. Like, I'm watching it with her, and at the very end of the movie is Eddie Murphy's donkey singing I'm a Believer, the monkey song. That's how the movie ends, and like, it's a big musical number. And I remember with my mom at that movie theater, like, my theater, it was one of my first core memory unlocked. I'm like 10, I think, is when that movie, 2001. So I was like 89. So I was 12. And I remember my movie theater at the end of that, everyone was singing and clapping and like cheering. Like it was like a concert. And it's like, that's always like, yeah,
that's
like
fun.
That's fun. Like, I like that.
That's how we need to. And, you know, maybe they'll do this because Andor is just popping off like nobody's business. But Andor is very clearly filmed for the big screen. It's just you and I have enormous televisions with high fidelity. Maybe that's how we break Josh into the Andor realm.
I know.
I watched guys who are listening that aren't Josh. I watched episode 10 last night, the one called No Way Out. And like, I'm sitting there and it's like 12:30. I just got my sick child to bed again. And I'm sitting there like, it was like the end of a high stakes game. And I knew what was coming and it was still rad. We're going to get Josh. Have you, and then we'll let you know if we're talking too long. Have you watched any Last of Us yet?
Yeah, I watched episode 1. I haven't watched episode 2. Me and Megan played both games, so we know what's happening.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I know. And I was just, we're not going to spoil anything. I didn't know other than to say the second episode ranks up there with some of the wilder television shows I've ever seen.
Episodes. It's like Game of Thrones, Red Wedding.
Oh, yeah. But not only that, but also like there was an episode of Game of Thrones called Hard Home, which was essentially like a zombie apocalypse thing. And my understanding of the Last of Us games is like they talk a lot about stuff that doesn't actually happen on screen.
Yeah.
And there was like it was so cool. And I've been listening to a couple of podcasts about it. And I keep like our buddy Jordan, one of our co-editors, I think like he gets annoyed with me just because I like slop. And I've been asking him about the pit and things like that. And it's just like the craft of making The Last of Us looks really cool. Looks really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been fun. I love getting reactions like from people like you, that have not like I played the game, so I know exactly how this is all going to end. I watched Game of Thrones. I didn't watch all Game of Thrones, but when I would watch an episode with friends, you know, that had read the books, they were the same way. They'd be like looking, like waiting, like looking at us just to see a reaction. It's kind of fun to know what's coming. In that way, and be able to share with people that don't.
If I always tell people that are like, well, you know, I just don't know if I need a TV, need a new TV, and I'm like, guys, like, just get that OLED. It makes a difference.
It does.
Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for enduring Josh and I talking about other stuff for 5 or 6 minutes. Again, I'll be back on Friday, a time to be decided, but probably like 3 PM would be my guess, central time. Come prepared with your questions. Otherwise, I'm just going to talk at my camera for several minutes. We can start to talk draft stuff. There's dates. There's things coming up. We can start to talk free agency. We can start to talk just really, you know, I'm looking forward to not talking about Nico Harrison in the, I just want to talk about other stuff. So we got to start somewhere. Everybody be good. Thank you so much. You got anything else, Josh?
No, let's get out of here.
All right. Shout out to Cowboy. He says, can teams trade picks for a player in the draft? Yes. Oh, you were asking about our Mavs Moneyball draft. I don't know. We're going to have to figure out the rules on that one. Guys, everybody be good. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week. Go Mavs.